Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is our 403rd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is, The Sun Did Stand Still. It's a fact, folks. We're going to look at that story, that infamous story in many eyes from Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. So, let's get into it. I had some noise there. I don't know if you heard it. I think it's gone. Okay. So this is another story, and I think I have one more I want to share with you out of the book of Joshua about Caleb. But today I'd like to share this story about you as Joshua continued his push into the promised land of Canaan. Now, I'm telling you, this is important. A lot of people say, why do you study those old books? I'm telling you, these Old Testament books are so valuable because they teach about our New Testament victory. This land of Canaan, okay, it represents and foretells the lives that we share in Christ, the victories we share in the lives as Christians, you know? So in Joshua chapter 10, I want to look at this amazing story of a true historic day, a factual day when the sun literally did stand still. So that'll be the focus of this message, and I hope you stay tuned because there was a day the sun literally did stand still, and it has some implications, and it does involve some battles today, and that's what we're going to look at. So I'd like to read Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So there's this book named Jasher. It's not in the Bible, but it's referenced by the Bible that has a lot of other history in it. Just keep that in mind, okay? And I just want to ask you this. How many scholars have you heard over the years on even public television when they're talking about the Bible, try to convince you that it's full of fairy tales, folklore, you know, myth? But I'm telling you, they're dead wrong, because that's simply not true. Folks, these are true stories. And there's no story, oh, maybe Jonah and the well, okay? But there's no story other than those two in the entire Bible, okay, that the scholars will argue more against. I mean, you can't be in the belly of a well and survive. And they'll give you 50 reasons why that's not true. And they'll tell you why you cannot have the sun stand still. Okay? But this is a historic day. This is a day that God made the sun stand still. And those scholars, they want to use this story to argue against the Bible and the failure for the Bible to be significant historically. But I'm telling you, the exact opposite is what's true. And it's a real strange, glorious story about the sun standing still, because it not only authenticates the Bible, but it actually substantiates and underscores the authenticity of this book. You know, its reliability. It's infallible, folks, you know, and it's factual. It's the Word of God. You can take it to the bank. So I'd like to dive into this story today, when the sun stood still. And I want to look at three battles, okay, that surround this story. And the first battle is what I'll call the historical battle. So it is a historic event in history. You don't even have to stay in the Bible to find this, like I said, in the book of Jasher. And there are other extra-biblical, extra-Christian, extra-Jewish books that talk about the Bible, day the sun stood still. So you don't have to just study this history out of the Bible. Remember, God's already given Jericho to Israel at this point. And after they got their hearts right with God, and we looked at sin being in the camp, he gave them the city of Ai. Okay? And then the news got out about these Israelites all through the land of Canaan. So six kings got together. Six powerful nations formed a league of nations, and they were going to go after Israel. That's the devil's crowd. They realized, hey, we better get together. So this included the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Pezerites, the Hivites, the Termites. Just a joke, folks. Just a joke. But these were all the groups that banded together and formed this League of Nations. Okay, it was a confederacy of sorts, okay? And their goal was to stand against Joshua and his godly army. And that's what they were doing. So Joshua has a forced march with his soldiers in the middle of the night. And these soldiers of Israel, what happened is they marched over 15 miles of rigorous, torturous terrain, okay? And they struck with a suddenness. And these five of the six kings were there in this ambush of sorts. And they weren't prepared for them. They didn't know Joshua was coming. And the armies of these five kings were caught in what today the military scholars call a pincer movement. So this was a true military move. This wasn't fairy tale. It's documented. And then the battle started, and it got thick and hot and furious. And these five kings told their armies to retreat. Okay, the sun was at high noon, and those five armies were retreating through this narrow pass. And Joshua, remember, he was a general, and he knew that his enemy was on the run, and he wanted to get him, and he wanted to finish this battle. The battle was turning, okay? It was a very strategic point, and he needed more time. He knew it. So time was starting to move in the favor of the Canaanites, okay? And the Canaanites knew this was the beginning of the end, okay? But they thought, maybe we could just outlast them and the sun will go down. Now remember, this is an important victory because this is the land that the Lord gave the Israelites. This is the land where the Savior was to be born. This was God's plan, his promise, his prophecies. And they all were hinging on this one battle here. So Joshua says, you know, I need more time. I wish I had more time. I can take this battle. And then, I don't know, by the impulse of the Holy Spirit, prophetically, prayerfully, he says, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Abijah. That's in verse 12. And right at that moment, folks, it's as if time froze. The sun stopped, okay? It stopped moving in its transit across the firmament. And the moon just stood still. Right there in the valley of Abijah, okay? So this day was extended, and God gave a glorious, grace-filled victory to his people. So it's an actual historical battle. And like I said, you can read extra biblical books like Book of Asher. You can read books written by the Chinese. You can read books written by some of the South American cultures that there was a day that the sun stood still. Now, some cultures call it the long day and others call it the long night. And that's relative to your position on the firmament. So that was the first battle. This is a historic battle. And if anybody tries to tell you otherwise, they're a liar. The military colleges study the battle today. Historians in archaeology and ancient cultures know of this story of the long day and the long night. But not only is it a historical battle, folks, it's a philosophical battle. And it's being fought by scholars today. That's because they call it ridiculous. They say it's absurd. The sun can't stand still. They have this heliocentric model. They think they have it all figured out with planetary motion and gravity and all this fun stuff. And they just think that God cannot intervene. Folks, I'm telling you, God made something glorious here. And the evidence in science is that it's geocentric. The evidence in science is that there's something above natural law. In fact, there is no natural law. There's only God's law that nature must obey. So these scholars that are telling you it's ridiculous, just tune them out, because they can be refuted in numerous areas. First, just on the astronomical grounds alone. So I'm telling you, if you study these histories, and the astronomers, the true astronomers that aren't going to try to have an agenda, okay, they can prove with validity what's taught right here in the Word of God. Now, a lot will say it's scientifically impossible. But I told you some of the other cultures, like the Chinese, they have the legend of a long day. And the folks in Peru have a story, and so do the Aztecs. It's all on record. So it's true. And so do the Babylonians and the Persians. Herodotus, okay? He was a great Greek historian. Okay, and this is what he said. When the priest of Egypt showed him a record, a long day, twice the natural length. So right there, out of a history that had nothing to do with the Hebrews. And if you go to Polynesia, you'll hear a similar story. It's called a myth. But I'll tell you, all these things point towards one time in history. So the astronomers, they found this record of a missing day. You can read the work of Professor C.A. Totten from Yale University. T-O-T-T-E-N, if you want to look him up. And it blows the minds of people today, but this was a professor of astronomy. British, okay? He was English. He was American. The British guy was Edward Ball. That's what it was, okay? So both of these, this British astronomer Ball and this Professor Totten from Yale, both proved through science and mathematics that there was a day, the long day. Or the long night, like I said, relative to where you're at. Now, a lot of people say, well, the reason I just can't believe the Bible is because it's full of these fairy tales. It's hard to believe. there are laws that it works against. But what I'm trying to tell you folks is that God can rescind or amend or set aside any natural law, as people call them, or use any natural law that we may know nothing about to move in his direction with his plan and purpose for his people, for this story called history. He can step in anytime he wants. So I don't care how God did it. He could have done it with light and fractions. He could have slowed the sun's transit across the firmament down. I don't know what he did, okay? But God intervened. It was a miracle. He did it, and that's it. It's in the history, okay? And philosophically, you really can't argue this when you look at the facts. You just can't do it. So there's this historical battle. There's this philosophical battle. And here, the most important battle. There's a heavenly battle raging right now. It's still being fought by the saints today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Listen to this. The Bible says, all these things happened unto them for our admonition. So all these old stories that we're reading and we're studying, and sometimes people wonder why, they happened for our admonition. So this happened as an example to us for encouragement, for instruction, for teaching. There's so much we can glean from this, okay? So I'd like to take some great truths out of this account from the book of Joshua and apply it to our lives today as Christians. That's what I want to do, okay? And I want to know, I want you to know too, that we can rejoice in the authenticity, the trustworthiness, the validity, the veracity of this Bible. God wants us to stand upon it, okay? And it shows that he's doing all sorts of things today in this world, in what ways that we can't even begin to understand. So there's this heavenly battle going on right now. I'll call it the battle of the saints. The Bible says that although Joshua wrestled against these demon-infested Canaanites, okay, we wrestle not against flesh and blood today, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So when you read the news, folks, oh, and by the way, that's out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. But when you read the news today, when you hear of all this crazy stuff going on with banking, Sister Kathy and I talk with Ethan, my business partner's son, who's trying to learn the business. When we talk with him, I think we're starting to blow his mind. But there are so many things going on right now in this world that if you don't understand where the battle is, you can be fighting windmills like Don Quixote did. You don't want to do that. The battle that rages today is in the heavenlies. We know that because Paul told the Ephesians. That means our battle's against Satan. And there's four truths I want to share with you concerning this battle with Satan. Okay, first of all, you have to know that in this battle, as people come against you with Satan in the commander seat, you can trust the reliability and the authenticity of the Word of God. It's not just some dusty old book that has no merit and no relevancy today in this world. The Bible says the sun stood still. I'm telling you, the sun did stand still. Now, I think some of the preachers who don't believe this, okay, and they call people to critically examine things in the Bible and don't take it too seriously, I think they ought to be examined themselves. And there are preachers like that. You know, God didn't call them to be editors, critics. He called them to be newsboys. I'm a newsboy, folks. All I'm doing is delivering the paper to you. I put it at your front step. I don't want to throw it on your roof. I don't want to throw it in the shrubs. I want to put it on your front step. I want you to be able to know that you can read this good word, this news, the gospel, and trust it. You know, the headline on each paper I delivered, you ought to say, Jesus saves. He does. You can trust this Bible, folks. It's the Word of God. There's a poem I want to read to you, and I got to get Terry to do this in calligraphy. There have been many enemies against this book, but it still stands. Century follows century, and there it stands. Empires rise and fall and are forgotten, but there it stands. And dynasty succeeds dynasty, but there it stands. And kings are crowned and uncrowned, but there it stands. Despised and torn to pieces, yet it stands. And storms of hate swirl around it. Boy, isn't that true? People hate this word. You can see the ire in them just stir up, but there it stands. And the atheist rails against it, but there it stands. And profane and prayerless punsters caricature it, but there it stands. Remember what Voltaire said? He said, before my generation ends, this Bible's going to be gone. Well, not only did the Bible outlive Voltaire, but now his homestead, his mansion, is the headquarters for the International Bible Society. Let me continue with this poem. And the profane and the prayerless punsters caricature it, but there it stands. The word of God, unbelief abandons it, and yet there it stands. And thunderbolts of wrath smite it, but there it stands. And the flames are kindled about it, but there it stands. You know, they try to destroy this. Rulers over all the ages have tried to gather up all the Bibles and destroy it. Yet the word remains. The Bible says, O forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. Now, I'm telling you, folks, this word of God is infutable, inerrant, infallible. It's applicable in our lives today. You can trust it. You can take it to the bank, you and me, folks. So I'm asking you this. Do you love this book? Have you taken a deep dive into this book and just studied it? Have you learned how to mine your own gold out of this book? Do you dive for the pearls that are found deep in the depths of this book, knowing that it's safe to swim in these waters? It's not going to hurt you, folks. Have you learned to go to this book and gain strength for living every day? That's what you need to do, folks, if you want to have victory in Christ. The truth is, there's no way you're going to be victorious in your Christian walk without the Word of God. That's why I'm doing this today. I'm telling you, God told Joshua in the very beginning he was going to take the land of Canaan. And what was his battle axe? What did he use? The Word of God. I'm telling you, don't you love this book? Or do you simply go to church on Sunday? Do you even go to church? Just to get a little dose to get you through the week? That's not how we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to see this book as the source of our strength, our foundation. We got to know that we can go to it and trust it and declare it. Now, there's another truth. And it's found in this book. And it's God's care for his children. In verse 14. Right there in the book of Joshua, it says, there was no day like this before it or after it, and the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, people say God doesn't take sides. Well, right there, God took sides. He did. The Lord fought for Israel in this battle. Now, I'm not saying he's taking sides with America today. I'm not saying that. But God does take sides. His side. And you want to be on his side. And if you're aligned with him and you're on his side, God fights for you. Now, I know it might sound a little bit like a contradiction, but that's the truth. Now, you might be thinking, well, I wish he fought for me. Well, I'm telling you, he will if you align with him and only let him. Now, you may be wondering, well, how do I get him on my side? What do you mean? Well, there's a key to all this right here, folks. You don't get him on your side. You get on his side. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if that makes sense. Now, the reason God's not fighting for some people that call themselves Christian is that they've been trying for way too long to get God on their side. And that's stinking thinking. You got to get on his side. So when Joshua came up to Jericho, you know, he was going to scope out the city for that attack. He saw that man with that sword, and the sword was drawn. So Joshua grabs for his sword. He's ready to draw his. Remember that story? We talked about it. And he looks at that man and he says, art thou with us or for our adversaries? And that man, the angel of the Lord, answers and said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Joshua 5, verses 13 and 14. Read it, folks, if you don't remember me talking about it. So here's the angel of the Lord saying to Joshua, I haven't come to take sides. I've come to take over. And there was a eureka moment in Joshua's walk where he realized, I've got to align with God. I've got to be on God's side. And we each have to come to that realization. You know, in other words, God's not for you and not for them. God's all about himself. It's all about Jesus, folks. And we have to align with him. So here's God and God alone. And to God be the glory. Sola Dea Gloria. That's what it means, SDG. So get lined up with God, and I'm telling you, things are going to start happening. Just remember, God has a plan, and we fall in line with God's plan, God's going to fight for us. So if you want to learn how to be victorious, all you have to do is see where God's headed and join him in and follow him. That's what you do. But how do you know what God's doing if you don't know the Word of God? If you don't walk in the Spirit of God? That's my point here. You got to read your Bibles. You know, God cares for his children. The Lord fought for Israel, and the Lord will fight for you, but you got to align with him, folks. So I know you all have some real battles in your lives. Terry and I do. And I'm telling you, God will fight for you. But that doesn't mean there's nothing you got to do. Remember, Joshua had a fight. The Israelites had a fight. But God fought with them. And God fought for them. But you have to align with them. That's the key. So I hope you can grasp that truth. You have to align yourself with God. Okay? And then he'll care for you. And he'll fight for you. Now, here's another truth I hope you can grasp, okay? And that's the great power of our God, okay? So these people were still a little afraid. So Joshua had to do, you know, his people, the Israelites, were still afraid. So Joshua had to do something that was remarkable, okay? So what he did is he took these five kings of the six that he caught, okay? Big generals, holed up in a cave, okay? You know the types. They're sitting there in the war room and they're sending other people out to do their bidding and to die for them. Joshua tells his guys, just roll a stone in front of that cave. We'll use those kings a little bit later. So he blocks them in there. He sends his people out for mop-up operations. And then he comes back and he uses these five generals, these five kings, for a lesson. And there's a lesson here for you and me, and I want to share it with you. For that person that's listening right now in the hospital, okay, I want you to hear this. For you out there that's listening that has financial troubles, I want you to listen. For you that's lonely, I want you to listen. Just listen to this. Joshua chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings into Joshua, and Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the neck of these kings. And they came near, and they put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said to them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. So you may be saying, well, what's that mean for me? How's that apply to me? What's so significant about that? Well, in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, the Bible says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Do you see the parallel here between Joshua and Romans? So have you defeated Satan in your life? Not if you're not aligned with Jesus. Not if you're not walking with Jesus, you haven't. You know, when Jesus died on that cross, Jesus said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John chapter 12, verse 31. And Satan hopes you don't make this connection here, folks. Satan hopes you don't understand it. But your privilege in Christ is to put your feet where Jesus has already crushed the enemy, right at his neck. You know, and you can do this because you're in Christ and he's in us. So God causes us to triumph. That's why we have to be aligned with him. And when we're aligned with him, we'll always triumph. Have you learned that lesson yet? It's important because there's power. You know, there's power to save. There's power to guide. There's power to keep. And it all comes from God. And it's all displayed in this amazing story right here. The Lord do to all your enemies against whom you shall fight. For thus shall the Lord do. He's going to do it. Okay? Now shall the prince of the world be cast out, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You get it, folks? You got to learn this. This is what Christianity is all about. This is what the victory we have in Christ is all about. The Bible says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Psalm 23, verse 5. Not in their absence, but in the presence, in the very midst of our enemies, folks, God gives us victory. So when you're learning all this stuff that's going on in the world today, when you see the injustice, God prepares a table for you and me in the presence of our enemies. In the presence, in the very midst of them. Okay? Just remember that. And here's the last lesson for us in this heavenly battle of the saints, as I call it. And that's the work of God. You know, the Bible says, no day like this before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. No day like it before or after. This was an amazing point in his story, in history. So God tells us he's never going to stop the sun again. Okay? He's not going to prolong it. He's not going to shorten it. He's not going to make an extra day again. So that means that if the sun's in your eyes right now and it's blinding you, take heart, because there's going to be a sunset. He's going to light the sky up with all that beauty of a sunset. You know, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 9, verse 4. So I'm trying to say to you that night's coming. So if you're blinded by the light right now, put some sunglasses on and get to work. Okay? God's not going to stop that sun for you again. It's going to set. Time is short. There's an old gospel song, okay, that people used to sing a long time ago. And there was a line in it that said, life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there shall be no more setting sun. So I'm telling you right now, there's a message here for you and me. What I believe God's saying is to anybody who thinks I'm going to stop this sun again, like I did for Joshua, ain't going to happen. There's no more time in a day than what I've allocated. No more. So we better get working. Get her done. Remember Larry the Cable Guy? Get her done. Get her done right now, folks. There's some of you listening right now that may be squandering your time. You may be wasting your time. And I'm telling you, the sun's setting. It's setting on you just as it's setting on me. So don't fall victim to what I call the oasis complex. If you don't know what it is, ask me about it, but I'll say very briefly. It's when you think, as soon as I get my new car, everything's going to be better. As soon as I get rid of my husband, everything's going to be better. As soon as I get my foot fixed, everything's going to be better. That's the oasis complex. Now is the time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he even said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Even Jesus understood this. He realized the sun's never going to stand still again. We're never going to be given an extra hour in the day. God's given you this day right now. It's a glorious day, so use it. Never say, I had some time to kill. Oh, no, when I hear people say that, I get a sick twinge in my stomach. No, never kill time. Redeem the time, folks. I want to tell you, there are multitudes of people, both in heaven and hell right now, okay, that would have given a million more lives to live if they just had one more opportunity that you and I have right now. Did you know that? So we have golden opportunities right now. If you're not saved, to get on your knees and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and ask him to save you. There are millions in hell that wish they had that moment back right now. And then there are millions in heaven that regret they didn't share the word of God, that they weren't out there winning souls, that they weren't witnessing for Jesus. Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior so without one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty handed go? Have you heard that before? Now you may be thinking, well, I will. I'll do that one of these days. I want to tell you the sun's setting right now, folks. Must I work the works of him that sent me while it is day? The night cometh when no man can work. Those are Jesus's words, folks. Life's evening sun is setting low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done where there shall be no setting sun. I love that, you know. You know, there was an artist out teaching his students how to plein air paint. And that's when you go out, you set your canvas up, and you have to capture the moment. That's called plein air painting. Terry's done it. You're under the gun, so to speak, because the sun literally is setting. And what you want to try to do is catch what's called that last light. Okay, and artists love that. That's because the sun's low in the sky and the colors just pop, whether it's a city scene, a landscape, whatever. That's the last light. So he was going from canvas to canvas looking at the works that his students were painting. They were painting a barn, okay? And the sun set behind the barn. And he was standing over one of the young painters who was really working on some detail. And he looked at this painter. He said, "Son, what are you doing?" And he said, "I'm trying to get these shingles just right on the barn." And he said, "What are you doing?" And the kid said, I'm trying to get these shingles right on the barn. They just don't look right." And he's, you know, painting all the lines in. Meanwhile, the sun's setting. And the teacher says, "Look around you. The sun's setting. The sun's setting. You got to get this down quickly. In a few moments, it'll be gone. And you're putting shingles on the barn?" Does that remind you of anybody you know today? Does that strike a nerve with you? You know, one of these days, a lot of the things that you think are important right now, they're not going to be so important. You know, the lawn that has to be mowed, the car that has to be washed, that grade that you got to get, that duplex you got to buy, all those things that you think are so important, poof, they're going to be gone in a twinkle of an eye. Life's evening sun is setting low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there shall be no setting sun. Just think about that, folks. Some of this stuff's not going to matter. What's going to matter is the souls you've won, the crown you can cast before the king. That's what matters. So, you know, the people often say, "Well, how do you know how wealthy you are?" Well, the wealth that you have, okay, can be summed up in one way. It's all that you have laid up to heaven. That's your true wealth, not your cars, not your degrees, not your bank account. It's what you've laid up to heaven. Because that's the only thing that you can really take with you, is what you've sent up beforehand. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." So if there's some money you intended to give, why don't you give it today, okay? If there's some praying that you ought to be doing, pray now. If there's some witnessing you plan to do, somebody's on your mind, make sure you do it today. If there's a letter you want, write it now. If there's a sin you need to confess, confess it now. If there's a Savior that you need to receive that you haven't received yet, folks, why don't you receive him right now? The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth." Proverbs 27, verse 1. I'm telling you, folks, God's not going to let time stand still ever again. He said so in his word, and his word is true. And we know that he cares for his people. He watches over us, and there's a power in him, folks, that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen? But there's also the work of God. The Bible calls the work we need to do the work of God. "I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Those are right out of the mouth of Jesus. So Jesus understood this. Folks, I'm telling you, it's plain and simple. I love you, but more importantly, Jesus does. So get out there and start working this week. There's souls to take for the kingdom. I love you all, folks. And provided the Lord's willing, okay, I'll be back next week with another message.